Well, good day, everyone, on this 8th day of June 2023 already. Getting close to, I guess we are half the year being over with now already of 2023. And I guess a good part of us are still surviving it okay. Not to say that there's not some difficult times out here. This morning, the podcast, by the way, welcome to the lifeinvestigated.com podcast. This morning, I'm doing a spiritual talk. I did a news talk earlier in the week, and today I decided here on this Thursday, it'd be a good day to look into the spirit once again, not just on Sundays, but sometimes during the week. And the title of this podcast is Up on the Mountain. And why the mountain? What's significant about the mountain? So for the last couple of years, I've been spent a lot of time down on the coast. I enjoy the coast. Certainly, sometimes the weather is, can be quite hairy down there sometimes, especially during storm seasons. But, have a little bit better moderate climate and temperatures, and you get your spring normally earlier than we do up here in the Appalachians. As I've gotten older, that warmer weather actually means something to me enough to where I would invest time and money into living on the coast part-time. And like I said, I really enjoy it, and I miss being there when I'm gone. That's not to say there's not something significant about the mountains and even spiritual about the mountains. You know, you can, when you go out and you sit on a beach, and I see a lot of people post on their social media, you know, it's beach time, I need to get away, I need to relax. The listening to the waves crashing against the shore, it certainly is relaxing and setting in some good warm weather. If unless you're just opposed to warm weather and sunlight, it can be rather enjoyable. Of course, then in most places, at least on the East Coast, you have to put up with in the summertime thousands and thousands and thousands of people around you. So I don't know how much solitude or peace you really have in a situation like that. But anyway, I still enjoy it. But is there something significant about mountains, spiritually speaking? Well, I think there is. And I think we can see this if we happen to read the Bible. I'm speaking of the Christian Bible, the gospel, as we call it. Now, you folks that are of different religions, I don't know what kind of guidebook you have or divine inspiration where you get it from. You get it from many different areas and maybe from many different gods for some of you. So I'm not sure with some of your religious practices how you actually know which God you're serving for that day. Now, with me, I know who my God is. His name is Jesus. And I know of whom I serve. I serve him. So at least that's the one thing that I don't have to get up and have a debate about every morning is who I serve. I know he is my living God, and he's the one that I've chosen to be. I made a free will decision to be part of his kingdom, to ask him to allow me entrance into it and for us to come into relationship. And as he has done with many of by now, I suppose billions of people since his crucifixion and resurrection, he said, you want to be a part of me? Okay, here I am. So that's a good thing about serving a God that is full of grace and love and mercy. God's also, he's full of judgment too, so we need not forget that one. However, what's the significance of a mountain? Well, again, as I look in the Old and the New Covenant, 66 books of the Bible, in the King James Version anyway. I did a little research. The word mountain is used 136 times in 130 verses. So obviously, there's some significance to a mountain. What does a mountain do for us spiritually? Well, in and of itself, nothing. However, does it help one gain some perspective sometimes? And is it a place that I believe that God recognizes mountains as significant? And here's why. The from beginning to end, the word mountain and the illustration of mountains are used by God. So what did he tell Moses to do? When Moses was going to receive the Ten Commandments, he didn't send Moses to the plains or to the riverbank. He sent him where? To the mountain. So what does a mountain do for us spiritually? Well, one thing it does is going to a high place gives us an additional field of view. And what I mean by field of view is this. So your eye has a field of view. There's certain dimensions that it can see. Your camera, this camera that I'm speaking into today, it has a field of view. Now, looking at it from my side, I see, you know, an angle of this much, a field of view of like this much, a little wider. And why is that? One is because of the dimension of the lens itself, the size of the lens. Another reason I have this field of view is because of the way I place my camera. Excuse me. So this camera is only going to be able to see what that lens is able to process through its mechanisms based on the lens that's in there and how it's placed. So for example, if we were at the beach and we were looking out, our field of view, we would have a very wide angle field of view because of the flat land and because of the ocean. You'd have a wide angle field of view. But what I've noticed and trying to do, because I like to do photography, what I've noticed is if I just take a picture, a wide angle picture of that ocean with no specific points for that camera to see and designate in on, it really is just nothingness. I'm not saying it's not pretty. I'm just saying there's nothing there to really focus on. Now, it's different for example, if a shrimp boat's coming by, you can focus that wide angle in on and get the image of that shrimp boat, and it breaks up the vastness of nothing. So now your focus, you have something to focus on. So why a mountain? You say, well, if you go up to a mountain, you don't see anything. Well, here's the deal. When you're at a high place, you have a vantage point to see multiple things. When Moses sent the spies out to spy the land of Israel, the land of milk and honey, if you can read it in the book of Numbers, the first place he told them to go to was where? You guessed it, to the mountain. Why? Because they had a field of view. They had a wide angle, but a distinguishable field of view of the promised land, because there were points of interest that they could see from this high place to focus on, so they can process the information. In other words, they could see their enemies without confronting their enemies face to face. At this high place, they could see their enemies. They could see the fruit of the land. They could see the trees and the fields that were producing crops, which is what interested them, correct? That's what they were all about, was getting into that land of provision, that land of milk and honey, which is a land of provision. But in order to do that, they knew they were going to have to face an enemy. So in facing that enemy, they needed to identify that enemy's strengths and weaknesses, which, you know, if you remember the story correctly, 10 of them focused in on the enemy's strengths. Two of them said, "Now we can take it. We like the milk and honey. We see, we like the provision. We'll formulate a plan because number one, God's with us. We'll be able to overcome the enemy." So a mountain's a good place to go and focus on numerous things, but one thing you can focus on is your enemy. When you can come up here and you get a big field of view, and you've got the solitude, most likely. You know, when you look out over a mountain range, if you're out on a bluff and you look out over the mountain ranges, you see for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles, but you just don't realize you're seeing that far. Unless you get a magnifier of some kind, a pair of binoculars or a telescope, then you can start to realize the vastness of what you're seeing. Now, I'm equating this over to the spirit. We need that vantage point spiritually, that we can focus in on our enemies, that we can focus in on the promise sometimes. It's not entirely just all warfare and focusing in on your enemies. Sometimes you got to focus in on a promise, and especially in days like the day today in 2023, when everything is so contentious. Politics is more contentious than it's probably ever been. It's always been a devil's arena, if you ask me, but it's very divisive. Society is very contentious right now. Things are very volatile in the world. We have all these enemies that are showing their hand. You know, we've always had enemies, but now they're showing their hand because they're very emboldened to do so because they're not concerned about consequences. When a nation gets disconcerned about the consequences of their actions against another nation, you can just almost be guaranteed you're going to have war. So we go up on the mountains and we get perspective. We see a wider field of view. We have the solitude that's required. And we can look into the spirit may be a little easier. Maybe our spirit becomes just a little freer when we're up. And let's face it, we all like to be in control. So when you're up high like that and you're looking down, it makes you feel empowered to a point. And that's what some of us need sometimes, not to be using that empowerment to say that we are better than someone else or anything else. Sometimes our spirit man gets so beat down that we just need to get it empowered. Now, some of you religious folks will just tell me, well, just pray. That's all you got to do is just pray. I just got to tell you, that's not all you have to do. That's part of the equation and an important one. And of course, going up on the mountain gives you the opportunity to do that. So the other thing that we've seen God instructed men to do, including Jesus, was to do what? Go up on the mountain to pray. Why? It gives you the solitude, but it allows your emotional part, your soulish part, to start to see from a high place the empowerment that you actually have. In other words, your world is not as tunneled down as the tunnel vision that you use. So when God brings you to a place, even if he uses a physical place such as a mountain, if he uses that place for you to regain your spiritual empowerment and to get your enrichment and refreshment in the spirit, then that mountain has served a purpose. The physical mountain has served a purpose because it does. For you folks that's never done this before, you really need to consider doing this. Again, I told you how much I love the coastal areas, but there is something significant about this mountain. And the other place we saw that God uses a mountain for is for worship. What did numerous people throughout the Bible do? They went in the old covenant, they went to the mountain and built an altar or a place to go worship God, because there was just something about the environment and the presence of God that seemed to manifest easier and more full in that place of solitude on a high place, which makes sense. God is above everything, isn't he? So here's the deal. You got your Heavenly Father that sits on the pinnacle of the universe. He says in his word that the earth is his footstool. So when you go up on this mountain and you're going for the right motives, okay? You're going knowing, can I have an encounter, a spiritual encounter with God Almighty by making this step of faith? In other words, faith without works is dead, according to the Bible. So you're making a step. You're creating an action here. You're going to this mountain. For you folks that's never tried this, now I'm not a tree hugger, and I don't think the earth is my God. Now some of you do, but I don't. I think we respect the earth because God told us to be good stewards over everything he gives us. We don't always do such a great job, but we're certainly not worried about whether a cow expels gas or not, okay? So there's something about it. There's something about using a mountain as a place of worship. It's a high place. And in our minds, in our soulish realm, as we process, maybe we think when we're higher in elevation, we're closer to God. I guess logically speaking, you could look at it that way. Now, I don't feel like you're getting a portal straight into heaven just because you go to a mountain, but I'm saying there are special places in the world. So solitude does mean, and what you are perceiving means a lot. So in other words, your field of vision and what you're able to focus on means a great deal. I can tell you I grew up primarily in the Appalachians, either in Western North Carolina, East Tennessee area, and Southwest Virginia. Spent some time in the southern parts of North Carolina. Now the general flatlands I don't like at all. I like coastal land, but the Piedmont area, if any area, I don't really like flatlands that much. So my preference for my life is either live on the coast or live on the mountain, or both. Like I've actually been very blessed and privileged in the last 2 years to just kind of live my life the way I want to for a good portion of it and where I want to. God has very blessed me in that respect, and I probably haven't given him enough accolades and praise for that, what he's done for me. So Lord Jesus, I thank you so much this morning. I'm publicly announcing you before me and anybody that will watch this, how you have blessed me. Now, some of the most significant encounters with God I've had on a mountain, much more so than I've had looking out over the ocean. Quite frankly, I don't really get in a good spiritual mood looking at the ocean. I get relaxed in my body, in my mind, but I don't really have what I call really significant spiritual encounters. But on a mountain, I do. It was on a mountain. Now, for you non-Pentecostals, you don't understand this at all. But for a Pentecostal man, you may understand this. It was on a mountain looking out over a bluff at numerous mountains after mountain after mountain, just miles and miles and miles I could see in solitude on a rainy May morning that I received that baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, getting saved in Pentecostal churches and discipling in Pentecostal churches, that was a big deal to them doctrinally. And I think the Pentecostals used to, anyway, they overemphasize it. Not that I'm saying it's not important. I do believe it's important for us personally. I think there's an overemphasization of it, at least in the past. I don't know if it still is or not. So as a reasonably new believer in Christ, you know, the elders of the churches and the senior member, Christian members around me, they desired that I would have that experience with the Holy Spirit. And they'd lay hands on me and they'd spit on me and everything else, praying over me. And I didn't none of that work. So I got a revelation of Christ and born again in October of 1989. Well, it wasn't until May of 1990 that God directed me one rainy morning to go up on this mountain to wait on him and to hear from him. And I complained about going. It was raining. And when I got to that bottom of that mountain, I looked up and it was foggy. I'm like, yeah, now what are you doing, God? You just bringing me up here so I can run off the side of the mountain and die? What, I mean, what's the deal here? Kind of like the Israelites when telling God, what'd you do? Bring us out here in the desert just to starve us to death? You know, we have that inherent ability to just complain all the time. And you may not realize you do it, but most of us complain way too much. I get up there where I'm going to park and walk out this trail to this bluff that I know is there. I've explored it before. And as soon as my foot hits the ground, the rain stops and the sun comes out and the birds start singing. So as one of the comedians say, here's your sign. I mean, it should have been a really clear sign to me, I thought. Because I was putting my rain parka on as I was getting out of my truck. And literally, as soon as I opened the door, my feet hit the ground, as I was still kind of arranging the rain parka on me, it stopped that quickly. And that quickly, the sun came out. I thought, well, heck far. This is weird. But I'm glad of it. It should have had... At that time, but of course, it was my spiritual immaturity. It should have had more meaning to me, but I thought, okay, I'll always take good things. And I walked a couple of miles to the bluff, and I sat there, and I just had a canteen of water, and I had a pocket New Testament. That's all I had at the time, and not just didn't have a clue. But I was enjoying a day. It turned out to be a beautiful spring day in the Appalachians, and I mean, wow, beautiful view. To me, I mean, it's in the summertime, now wintertime. Now, if it's snow on the mountains, then snow is pretty in the mountains. But though, you know, when the leaves die and you've just got dead vegetation everywhere, let's be honest with you, the mountains ain't all that great. They're not all that pretty. But boy, in the summertime in the Appalachians, when everything's green and full and you've got that new season coming in and you feel the freshness of that new season, That in itself is almost a spiritual experience in a way, because you know that God has renewed and performed his word once again. So we go out, or I go out and I wait and I walk that bluff, and I haven't a clue. That's because the Lord didn't reveal to me that he was going to give me this special baptism of baptism in the Holy Spirit. I'd been taught some about it, obviously, because many, many men had been praying for me to receive the baptism with the evidence of speaking in an unknown tongue. And nothing happening, but I wasn't overly concerned about it because I knew when I met Jesus, I knew I'd met Jesus. So I knew at that time my spiritual future had been solidified. So I didn't put the big emphasis, and still don't to this day, on that baptism, although it is important. Your first step is to know Jesus Christ, period. I'm walking back and forth that ledge, and I'm getting agitated, I'm getting tired, sitting on a hard rock, and complaining like normal. I'm talking to myself basically, and then I'll pray a while and I'll talk to myself. And so during one of those times that I was just praying in my native language of English, all of a sudden it changed to something that I didn't understand and still don't to this day. However, God will at times give me interpretations of what I'm praying in other tongues. So a mountain is significant. I do think I've got scriptural backing to prove what I'm saying about the significance of worship on a mountain, the significance of going up to a mountain to gain perspective. And you don't necessarily have to be alone to do that. Sometimes solitude is what we need in a busy world for at least a brief moment in time. And certainly from a defensive posture, a mountain's always better because you can see your enemy coming. And I think that's one part of this lesson today. Spiritually speaking, we need to be able to discern the enemy coming a little better. But we won't do that until we get God's field of view, at least a part of God's field of view. And we see things as God is seeing them, and we process them with these lens and with this lens up here. And in this spirit man, so we're three parts. We need to process it all together until we start getting God's field of view. God's looking down, says there's footstool. So if God's looking down, if we want to look to him, what do we have to do? We have to look up, right? We don't go down to the high places. We go up to the high places in our spirit man. We go up to the high places in eternity. We go up to the high places in worship. We go up to the high places in our service. There's nothing at all mediocre about God, and nothing ever catches him unaware. It catches us unaware because we don't have proper perspective. But anyway, it's springtime and it's a cool spring. We're getting ready to progress here to summer, but here in the Appalachians, it's a cool, of course, it's cool down on the beaches now too. We're just in this transitional wave this year. And I mean, I'm sitting here in June in a sweatshirt and a long sleeve shirt. So that's kind of, it's usually a lot warmer than this, but the mountains are beautiful. There's a lot of greenery. At least in this region, we've had plenty of rain, and the mountains are green and they are lush. And if you're living in Southwest Virginia or the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia, western part of North Carolina, East Tennessee, Pennsylvania, Georgia, man, you've got all of this glory land of God's to go and enjoy. Take you a little break. If you're within driving distance of a nice high place to go to and spend a little time with God, or spend a little time with yourself, or spend a little time with your spouse or your children, it would be a good investment for you right now. I think you would enjoy it. Take you some bug spray. Bugs don't care about your spirituality. Mix you up some Listerine and some white vinegar in a bottle and some water. Spray your hat, spray your clothing. It'll work as good as any bug spray you're going to go buy. You don't have the pesticide effect of it. But go prepared when you do go. Have some good common sense. My name's KD English. You can contact me at patriottrainer@protonmail.com. Patriot Trainer is all one word. patriottrainer@protonmail.com. Is there something I can do to assist you in any manner? You can let me know. Thank you so much for watching.